Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marty and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
Welcome, welcome. This is Marnie Swedberg. You're joining me for Writing Your Real Life Story with our guest today, Deb Potts. During the next little while, you want to grab a pen, and because we are going to be talking about three things God wants you to do with your real life story, also how telling your story can impact other people, why your story may not be complete until you share it, four confirmations that you're ready to tell your story, and you need to start by considering writing your story as a memoir. So if it's nonfiction, it's the right genre for your story, or if you should do fictionalized, like a novel of your story. We're going to talk about all that with our guest today, Deb Potts. She's the author of three books, including Love on Life Support, which was co-written with her husband, Bruce. Deb and Bruce lead a marriage mentoring program at their church campus, and she's also a speaker. You can learn more about her at debpotts.com and invite her to speak via Christian Women Speakers at www.womenspeakers.com. I'm excited right now to welcome you, Deb.
Thank you, Marnie. I'm so excited to be here. This is awesome.
Well, I was excited to get your book and read your story about how you were on the outside and Bruce was on the inside of a hospital during COVID. And the trauma that was involved in that. I had another friend whose husband also was in the same situation, a different story, of course, but so traumatic to be separated from a loved one during an intense season of health challenges. And I know that coming out of that, you guys felt like you needed to tell your story and you decided to go the fiction route. So before we get into the nuts and bolts of this, how come you went fiction instead of just telling a nonfiction story?
Well, we started looking at the idea of writing a memoir, but from my experience, I knew that unless you're really famous, people aren't going to read your memoir. It's going to end up being a buddy book, which means just your friends and your family are going to read them. And we were looking at a blog post about writing memoirs, and the author put in there, write it as if it's a fiction story. And so we just started brainstorming, what if we took this story and wrote it as a fiction story, which I know is going to reach more people. The fiction genre is huge. And we could tell the story in a way that would kind of share hope with couples whose marriages are in trouble. And that, because that's our thing, we're marriage mentors. And so, crazy idea, we decided to write a fiction novel.
So it became more than became more than the story of walking through the challenges of this hospitalization. It became a story with teaching points all along the way about how marriages can really have friction and kind of this distance and separations and what your feelings are. Yeah, it was very enjoyable to read, and also just to see from the inside of a home that was going through this separation that a lot of us know people who went through.
For sure. And we were so grateful that you wrote an endorsement for our book. That was so wonderful.
Oh, well, thank you for asking me. So let's start with sort of for someone who has a difficult story, a painful story to tell. What are the three things that God wants us all to do with our real life stories?
Well, I think these are just three. There's probably more ways that God wants to use them, but one point would be that he wants us to use our story to comfort other people. And he gives that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that he is the God of all comfort, and he comforts us in our affliction so that we can comfort other people with the same comfort we've received from him. And so when people are struggling, they can think of our story and remember the comfort that I shared that came from God. They can receive that comfort as well. The second thing that God could do with your story is to give other people hope. In Romans 15, it tells us that whatever was written in former days. It was written for our instruction so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we could have hope. And boy, that's one thing that we all need when we're going through a tough time, that there is hope. And that's the purpose of our book that we just wrote, that no matter what, there is hope, that hope in Christ. And then the third thing that God, I believe, wants to do is to equip others for life. So even if they're not going through a tough time, reading the story will come back to them in the future. So in Habakkuk chapter 2, it tells us that the Lord says to us, record the vision, inscribe it on tablets, so that the one who reads it may run. And so hearing somebody's story and remembering that when you do go through a tough time, you can remember, oh, she did this and that, and she got herself close to God, and she listened to his word, and she followed him, and I can do that too. So writing your story is a great way to accomplish those goals that God has for us.
Right, and I even think, you know, for those of you who are listening, and you have a story, but you're like, well, I'm not really an author, I don't want to write a book about it, but you know, you can share that story with friends also. And I know one of the things that has helped me just in preparing for a one-on-one with someone I know is going through a hard time. I just did it the other day. I just jotted down some of the miracles that I remember God doing during the process of going through a similar situation, and just having those fresh in my mind. So sometimes just jotting down those things and keeping them fresh in your mind and your heart, the way that God showed up for you, whether it was a song on the radio just at the right time or whatever it was, you know what I mean? He just keeps showing up, doesn't he? And it's so fun to just keep those things fresh in our mind. Yeah.
Yes.
So we talked a little bit then about what God wants to do with your story, but how can our stories impact other people?
Well, just in the fact that we tell our stories, that we have the courage to tell the story, can really be impactful, because a lot of times when we go through tough things, we want to hold it close to our chest. We don't want to tell the story. And so if somebody else is willing to be real about our failures, our struggles, it can make you more relatable to them and encourage them to be honest about their issues. This makes me think about the unspoken prayer requests that some traditions kind of support. And that doesn't help anyone to know how to pray for you. And it doesn't help them to become more open about their failures and their struggles either. So a culture of openness is where the redemption really happens. When we're praying in secret and we don't even know what we're praying for, that leads to encouraging others to just hide in shame when they're going through tough times. And so, you know, sharing your story, just telling the story, is impactful just by itself.
Yeah. So I want to just kind of circle around this one for just a little bit. One of the things that I always mentor writers who are, especially writers who are telling a story that includes pain points, especially excruciating pain points, let's say, that you really are best writing it after you are healed. There are some times when God would call a person to write the story and share the story broadly during the crisis, but most of the time, God is going to let you actually get healed to the point of being scarred over before he asks you to put it out there for the world to throw darts at. And honestly, you guys, as a writer, I had a friend just explain this to me as a worship leader. She said, you know, you're just basically standing up there with no clothes on saying, anybody can say anything about me that you want. You know, you have to be so vulnerable and willing to know that some people aren't going to understand. Some people are going to take it wrong. Some people aren't going to just be on the same page with you. And the last thing God wants you to do is to go be vulnerable in front of people who aren't going to take care of you. When you're talking about being in a church and these unspoken requests, I wonder if maybe the motivation for those came because some people got hurt when they were vulnerable in church. You know,
that's possible for sure.
And you really want to make sure that the people you're being vulnerable with really care about you and love you and are extending God's love to your heart. And especially when you're writing for publication. Wow.
Yes.
You know, make yes. sure that you're in the right spot for that.
Right. That's something that hit me years ago. My father took his life. And I remember we were living overseas at the time, and I came back and I was talking to one of the other moms on the school playground who was from a different culture. And I didn't know how taboo that subject was for her. And she asked me where I had been gone, because I had been gone for a while. And I told her, you know, my dad took his life. And she actually took a step back and kind of screamed. I mean, she was so shocked that I was just taken
talking
aback myself.
About it. Right.
I know. Right. Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. And you were probably at that point still pretty vulnerable with your own emotions with it. Yes.
Right. I was.
Yeah. It's a very good example of you have no idea how your story is going to hit someone else's hot button.
Yes.
And the beauty of a book, the beauty of a story is that they can put it down, they can walk away. They can pray, they can come back. But you personally, before you share it, need to make sure that you're in a place where you can handle that kind of a response versus just, oh, great job. What an amazing story, because you might not only get those kind of responses. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes,
I love now, having said all of that, I love that when we share, and I'm just going to say our points of weakness. Okay, when Bruce was in the hospital, how weak was he? You know, I mean, so weak he couldn't care for himself at all, right? And how weak were you on the outside? You couldn't help. There was nothing. It was truly weakness. It wasn't bad. It was just weakness.
Right.
And,
yes.
And what happens in our culture sometimes is that people say things like, well, if you had more faith, this wouldn't be happening to you. Mm-hmm. And as we debunk that lie,
That is a lie.
As we debunk that with our real life stories of how God showed up and carried us through very difficult circumstances, it gives others exactly what you were saying. It gives them courage. Mm-hmm. It gives them hope. It gives them, you know, the memory of, oh, but when she faced that problem, what she did was she ran back to her Bible, or she got around people who loved her and they prayed with her or whatever. This is the purpose of what you're writing.
Yes. Yes. And during a tough time, like the time when Bruce was in the hospital, I needed community like I never needed before, because I was all by myself in my house. My daughter is a nurse, and we didn't know what the impact of what she wouldn't even hug me. I mean, I was truly alone. And so I told the story to as many people as I could, so I could have these people praying and coming alongside of me, because I needed that community. And without telling the story, at least in some way, to safe people, you will be by yourself. You'll go through it alone. You know,
And that is never that's never God's plan for us to go through it
alone. It's not.
Yeah, he really loves. I always say he loves body life. He loves doing it together.
Yes, definitely does. Yeah.
You know, you have an interesting perspective that says that it's possible that your story may not be complete until you share it.
Yes, I really believe that. So I believe that telling the story after it's happened, after you've healed, after you've grown, telling it is also part of the redemptive process of the story. There is a purpose in telling the story. And it's hard sometimes. And sometimes we have to wait. We have to wait till the healing takes place. The grief is healed. The process helps us to lean on God, to grow spiritually. Then we can share about the story and become courageous enough to do that. I'm going to share a little bit about a friend of ours, because of this is a very good example of how this worked in his life. His name is Jim Bowers, and he and his wife, Ronnie, were missionaries in Peru. And in 2001, they came to Michigan, as they always did when they were home in the U.S., and spoke at our church. And they always stayed with us, with Bruce and I, at our house. And we got to be very close to them. And they came this one time in November of 2000 to adopt their baby girl, Charity. And they also already had a little boy named Corey, who was 7 at the time. And so they were thrilled to be able to have the second child and came and shared with us. And we held the baby, and we just really were close to this couple. So they flew back to Peru, and in April of 2001, they were flying in a small missionary plane to go get a visa for the baby. And you might remember the story in 2001 because it was all over the news, but their plane was mistaken by the Peruvian Air Force as a drug runner, and they shot the plane down. Mm. Ronnie and the baby were killed, and the plane ditched in the Amazon River. Jim was able to retrieve his wife and baby's bodies. They were saved by the people that were on the shore, the Peruvian natives. It was a horrendous story, life-shaking story. And Jim, we saw him maybe 4 or 5 months after that story happened. He came back to Michigan. He spoke in our church, and he stayed with us. And I noticed something different about Jim when he spoke in our church, because Jim had always been a very hesitant speaker. He wasn't confident. You could tell he really would rather be on his life, on his boat in the Amazon, speaking to these little groups of Peruvians. But he was different. He was confident. And so when we went home that night, I said, Jim, something's happened to you since I saw you last. You are so much more confident. And he said, you know, I was forced to tell the story over and over and over again. He had TV cameras. He was interviewed by Diane Sawyer. He was in the White House with President Bush. And so even though he didn't really want to keep telling the story, this was what God gave him. And his job was to tell the story. And it changed him. Mm-hmm. And so that telling of the story was part of his redemption. It was part of his growth and an answer to prayer for Ronnie, who was praying the prayer of Jabez at the time. Do you remember that book, that little teeny book that came out, and everybody was praying, God, expand my borders, expand my territory. And here she is, her story is on national television and just incredible. And Jim was part of that. If he was refused to tell the story, then her prayer wouldn't have been answered. And so your story may not be complete until you tell the story.
And what a perfect example of a time when you don't wait to get healed. You just press into the grace of God. You know, you just receive the grace of God to go through whatever he's calling you to go through. But I mean, anybody who's listening right here who's gone through a hard thing, can you imagine having cameras in your face and microphones in your face? And you're supposed to be just telling what happened without sobbing, without, you know what I mean?
Right.
Wow. You know, you absolutely would have to have the grace of God in order to.
You see it every night, you know, every night on the evening news, Marnie. For these school shootings, we see people having to, have a microphone in their face and tell a story. Yeah. We see it all too often lately.
Yeah. So it's great to be ready to tell your story when God calls you to do it. But also, you know, I just want to circle back to if you're working, you know, I have a friend who's been working on her story for over 10 years. It was excruciatingly painful. A pastor and his wife, and the story, when it comes out, will have the potential to really hurt their ministry. And, there comes a time when she will know it's time. But until then, she just continues to work on a chapter as far as she can get. God heals her some more. They move forward. And so if you're listening and you're like, I just can't do it yet. I can't do it yet. Don't worry about that. And even to the point where, I mean, even to the point where I know for a fact that God will put the fire under you when it's time, because I've had so many authors and speakers tell me they refused to do it until, boom, then they knew, I have to do it now. So God will make it clear.
Absolutely.
Okay, so what are the four confirmations to know that we're really ready to tell our story?
Yes. So we do need to know, unless we're like Jim Bowers and you have no choice, but most of us have a choice, right? You have to have time to process through your story. Have you grown spiritually as a result of the situation? That's not too new and too raw. Like you said, Marnie, you don't want to just be sobbing and telling the story. You want to be able to have some perspective and some growth and feel that you have had some healing. Secondly, you want to be able to speak about it without a lot of emotionalism. You know, a few tears is okay. And when I talk about my dad's death, I still get teary sometimes, but it's not uncontrollable sobbing. And when I talk about my unforgiveness and my bitterness and my anger, I don't feel that rising up inside of me anymore because I've been healed from that. And so if you do have those signs, it's a sign that maybe more healing is needed before you tell the story. Maybe it's not time. Thirdly, you're not tempted to portray yourself as a victim in your story. Lots of times we feel somebody else at fault, or, you know, we didn't deserve this or whatever. Are you comfortable in sharing your own failures if it's a relationship type of a situation? Are you comfortable sharing how you have grown to be more Christ-like in the story? And then fourthly, you've forgiven the bad guys in the story. You're telling the story is not for the purpose of retribution or getting even in any way. You're committed to keeping personal information about other people private, making sure that you don't share something about someone else that they would not want to have shared. You might have read books before that, like I have read a book of somebody that I know that really made me uncomfortable because of how she portrayed the situation and the other person in the story. It makes you feel uncomfortable if you haven't forgiven the bad guys in that story. So you want to make sure that you have had healing and that you have moved past in some ways, not, you know, that you're totally removed from the situation, but that you're not just engrossed in it anymore. So there's definitely, in some situations, time needs to pass before you can tell the story.
Love those. Those are such great litmus tests. And just to circle back around to the one about including other people in your book, if you have a story that relates to people in your immediate or close family, you really need to pray that through, talk that through, get permissions. I mean, it is not okay to just go ahead and tell the family's dirty secrets without their permission, without their really approval of it. And a lot of times you can't, if it's of God, honestly, if it's of God, you're going to get it. And if it's not supposed to be written the way you've written it or not supposed to come out at all, then you will face brick walls there and you will have big reactions there, as it should be. Really. It's not only your story. It affects other people's lives too.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So be aware of that. Okay. So the last thing that we're going to just touch on here real quickly then is the possibility of telling your story in a fictionalized manner.
Okay. So that's what we did with our Love on Life support book. And fiction is the biggest genre. It's much bigger than nonfiction. So you might reach a whole new audience. I had written two nonfiction books previously, and so I chose fiction partly because of a different audience. Mostly women are going to read it if it's a, you know, Christian contemporary fiction novel. Mostly it's going to be women, so you have to understand who the audience is before you choose that. And so we decided to pick that genre because we wanted to share some concepts, but in the mode of story. You know, stories are used throughout the Bible to tell really important life messages and life lessons, but through the technique of story. Story impacts a part of our brain that nonfiction does not impact. We get emotionally involved in the story, and we really can take home the messages in a different way than when we're reading nonfiction.
Yeah, I love that. And it is an opportunity to, if you have a very upsetting story, let's say a story that will definitely trigger family members and friends who know you and know the story, you can get a ghostwriter. You can have it told in a fictionalized manner where it does not relate to your life and your name is not associated with it. That is a possibility mm-hmm. for getting your story out. However, yes. I think that would be kind of the rare and extreme situation. I think it's better for you to tell your story and own it, for mm-hmm. you to go through the hard work of getting the permissions that are needed, go through the hard mm-hmm. work of getting those relationships to the point where you can talk to the people about this and yes. and actually come to mutual forgiveness and peace about these things. I mean, a lot of times that's the whole purpose God has for us actually pursuing some of this, is to take it deeper in the healing area.
For sure. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So as you're progressing forward, you know, this thought of doing it as a novel is a novel idea, right? I do think if you've written, like for me, I only have written nonfiction. I think for me, changing over to fiction would be a huge steep learning curve just in how different it really is.
Yeah. Yes, it definitely was. And writing it with your husband, he likes to say thing. That, oh my goodness, we were ready to sign up to have marriage mentors ourselves after this was over.
It's kind of like going camping, right? You learn about yes. each other, you otherwise never knew.
I know. We had some wonderful, wonderful editors that taught us some skills and helped us along yeah. the way. We found a really cool tool online that helped us to create the timeline and all the scenes. Ooh. And I included an Excel spreadsheet, which is right up Bruce's alley. Yeah, so he nice. Was very excited. Awesome. He handled the Excel spreadsheet for the story. And then we went back and forth between the husband and the wife's point of view. Bruce wrote the man's yeah. part, and I wrote the woman's part, but then he would yeah. give his part to me and say, fluff it up, because he's
nice.
He writes, you know, PowerPoint, so yeah, right. fluff it up. And then we give it to the editor, and they'd say, start over. So it was quite a learning experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good we point learned about a lot. Editors. But, yeah. Good point about editors, too. Editors are just yes. invaluable.
They really are.
Yeah. Aww. Yeah. Well, this has been great. I hope you guys got a lot out of this and kind of come away with some ideas or maybe just a different perspective of how far you really are on your journey of getting this story out there, because maybe you're realizing, oh, I need to step back a little and get some more healing and get some more editing. Or maybe you're realizing, wow, after listening to this, I'm more confident than ever that I'm ready to go with this story. So wherever on the path you are, we're just cheering for you and knowing that this thing that God has brought you through, this hard story that God has brought you through, he wants to use for his glory and for your delight.
Yes.
And I know we all look at the story of Job and I always think, wow, you know, no way would he ever have given up his children the first time in order to get beautiful daughters the next time. You know, I mean, nobody would ever do that. But the reality is that God isn't saying, I gave you these to replace those. He's not doing that in our lives either. He's saying, I know you went through a terrible situation. Circumstances were so harsh. And here I am now going to bless you in a brand new way. And that's where God is leading us all. And that's the hope that we can give to others that are going through challenges. So Deb, thank you, darling, for being here and for just living that out loud.
Well, thank you, Marnie, for giving me the opportunity.
Oh, so awesome. Great. Yeah, and you guys want to go check out Deb's website. It's so easy. Her name, Debpotts, debpotts.com. When they get over there, Deb, what are they going to find?
Well, we have tools for your marriage, so free downloadable tools. We've got a little little study that you can do. It's called Better Together, and we have some information about marriage mentoring versus counseling. So that's our main thing, is marriage mentoring. And we love to encourage marriages and build them up.
You know what I really love about you is that you are so authentic, that just a couple of minutes ago, you were telling us that it was so, so, so hard for you guys to write this book together. And then you say, and we're marriage mentors. And that is just so real and authentic because honestly, I just have never seen a marriage. In fact, I've seen two marriages. I've seen two marriages that were so smooth. It was almost like they were the same person kind of going forward.
Wow. And,
but the thing is that neither of those marriages are that way now. I've only ever seen two.
Wow.
One of the marriages, the wife was in a terrible car accident and had a massive head injury that radically changed who she was. And they are still together after 40 years, and they are married to different people than they got married to, and they lost that original love of their life. And the other one is very similar. They aren't the same people anymore, and yet they're still together after 30-some years of marriage. So as you're sharing, you know, it's normal in marriage to have two people that kind of rub up against each other. Sometimes it's like this, sometimes it's like that.
Absolutely. Bruce and I are as different as you can get from one another, but we believe that we can be better together. And that's what we kept saying writing this book, no matter how hard it was. We said, we can do this better together. And I truly believe that that's God's plan.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. He brings two people together to make a united front going forward for his glory. Every marriage is also going to look different. So no matter what it is that you're doing, whether, you know, I know some teams, another thing that's coming to my mind is some teams do everything together. Like they work at the same place. They do everything. I mean, and Dave and I have been there, you know, we own businesses together and it's like, wow, that was intense. And then sometimes we're separate. You know, he's off in the corporate world and I'm homeschooling, or he's off at his garden now and I'm doing ministry online, you know, but we're, even though we're like separately like that, we're together like this. And so that's the main thing, is to not think you're the only people that have a different kind of a life in a marriage. All marriages are different and God loves them all.
For sure. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you guys want to make sure to check out DebPotts.com. And also she's available to speak at your upcoming women's event. So check that out at womenspeakers.com. Thanks for joining us. I'll see you next time. Have a wonderful rest of your day.